This year marks the 60th anniversary of the death of Sylvia Plath, perhaps the best-known writer of the confessional poetry genre. Her work, in particular her semi-autobiographical novel The Bell Jar, is still widely read today. The Bell Jar tells the story of a bright young college student who struggles with mental illness and ends up in a psychiatric hospital after a suicide attempt. It was published in January 1963, only a month before Sylvia Plath took her own life. Eventually, it became a bestseller. Last year, journalist and psychotherapist Lee Kravitz published The Last Confessions of Sylvia P., which used fiction to explore the life and legacy of Sylvia Plath. The book is now out in paperback. When it was published in March 2022, Lee joined us via Skype to talk about the book. We began by asking him what it was about Sylvia Plath's story that drew him to write The Last Confessions of Sylvia P.
You know, there were a couple things. I mean, the fact that The Bell Jar is still so relevant, Sylvia's voice in writing The Bell Jar is still so present and current, even though it was written 60 years ago. It's also a remarkable journey into the life of somebody who's actually going through a manic phase of manic depression. You know, in the middle of the novel, her main character winds up hospitalized for trying to kill herself. But if you really read it from the very beginning, you realize that she's actually manic from page one. And the way that she sort of allows us to get into her character's mind and behind her eyes, it was almost journalistic. And I picked it up when I was actually working in a mental hospital, of all places. Before I started writing, I got my master's in psychology, and I was at a mental hospital here in Northern California, and it happened to be the exact same hospital that author Ken Kesey had worked at many years earlier when he started writing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I walked in one day, and there was a copy of The Bell Jar in sort of the waiting room book kiosk, and I picked it up, and it was remarkable to read the words of somebody that it could have been written today.
Well, one of the characters in your book is Dr. Ruth Barnhouse, who we learned treated Sylvia Plath at McLean Hospital. And readers of The Bell Jar will recognize this character as Dr. Nolan in that book. And it's really through her that we learn about how the treatment of psychiatric patients, what it was like during the time that Sylvia Plath was a patient at McLean Psychiatric Hospital outside Boston. Can you explain more about that?
Yeah. So Ruth Barnhouse was not only Sylvia Plath's psychiatrist, she became a friend and sort of mother figure to her throughout her life. What was remarkable to me about Ruth Barnhouse was that she was the first female psychiatrist in New England at that time. This was in 1952. And at the time that she showed up at McLean Hospital, there was a real shift in how psychiatric help was viewed and practiced. On the one side, you had the ones who really sort of subscribed to Sigmund Freud's sort of approach to things. And there was also, you know, that included electroconvulsive shock therapy. So you had these sort of old school methods that worked. On the other side, you had these new approaches, this sort of humanistic approach to psychotherapy and psychiatric help. And so Ruth, by virtue of her, you know, being there and the only sort of woman in the ward, but also more of a sort of a modern mindset, came in and she realized that actually experiential therapy could really help the patients as well. And so in the novel, we see her taking the patients out and taking them to beehives and working with the bees, or even leaving the ward and going into downtown Boston. These experiences shaped and helped heal many of the people that before would be locked away for many, many years.
Right. It was a huge shift from that strict Freudian-based approach, as you say, to this more experiential, more humane approach, and it made a huge difference.
It did, and to this day, I mean, we talk about Sylvia Plath's influence, you know, on writing and literature and poetry, but Ruth Barnhouse's influence and sort of the methods that she was following, psychology and psychiatric help, still uses the same sort of methodology she does to this day. It's an incredible thing to watch.
Your narrative is told through three different timelines and three different women, all connected in some way to Sylvia Plath. Why did you decide to tell the story in this way, and how does it lead us to a better understanding of Plath?
I set out to write a novel that really talks about how Sylvia Plath didn't only influence the people around her in her time, but that her influence sort of ripples outward. So, you know, we start out with Sylvia showing up at the hospital. You know, she's in the middle of a manic break. And we see sort of Ruth Barnhouse take her under her wing and teach her, you know, the value of being in the moment and expressing yourself in a way that many people did not allow. It was very sort of uncouth to talk about your thoughts and feelings. And this sort of really pushes her into the next phase of her writing career, which is the second storyline of the novel, which is Sylvia shows up at Robert Lowell's poetry workshop at BU. And when she's there, we see her sort of develop into the poet that we're mainly familiar with. And there she runs into her biggest competitor. And we see how that competition both sort of influences her and also pushes her towards her inevitable end. And then, of course, you have the modern storyline that really allows people to understand why Sylvia mattered back then and why she's relevant today.
You talked about that workshop at Boston University. In that workshop was this well-known poet, Anne Sexton. Was she the inspiration for your character, Boston Rhodes?
It started out that way. Anne Sexton is an absolute inspiration for my writing. She was the one who actually sort of got me interested into the subject matter of poetry to begin with. So I knew that she was going to be in the novel in some way, shape, or form. And she does inform who Boston Rhodes becomes. Boston Rhodes is this student, and she would be sort of the leader of the confessional poetry movement if only Sylvia Plath weren't in her way. So Boston winds up going to lengths that Anne Sexton never really did and never really would. But in real life, Anne and Sylvia both had a mutual respect for one another, but they also had a little rivalry going. Mm-hmm. You can see that in their poetry. Sylvia will write a poem about beekeeping, or a series of poems about beekeeping, and Anne Sexton would write a series of poems about beekeeping. So you could see that they were influencing, but they're also sort of pushing against each other as well. And as they were doing that, each of them was refining their craft and refining their voice, and their voice was getting louder and louder as well.
And it speaks to the nature of artistic rivalry and really how that can inspire creativity.
You know, I think it's necessary. The novel really touches on that, how we need our competitors to sort of keep us sharp and to keep us motivated, to instill us with a sense of agency. I think that was absolutely true for Sylvia, certainly for Anne Sexton, and for all the characters in the novel. I think they appreciate Sylvia, but they also feel a little threatened by her as well.
Well, I was struck that your writing brings such empathy to the struggle of mental illness.
Yeah, I think I really connected to that element of it. You sort of wonder, does mental illness and creativity, is there some sort of link between the two? It turns out that the one mental illness that does have that creative connection is bipolar disorder, which is exactly what Sylvia Plath had, what Robert Lowell had, what Anne Sexton had. And so you can sort of see how mental illness sort of gave birth to the confessional poetry movement. And I really wanted to understand who these people were and how their work sort of influenced the mental health and the psychology of the people who read it.
Did you come to a conclusion?
You know, I think people feel seen when they read it. I think that that's really the connection between art and psychology. The best kind of art sees the way that we think in a way that nobody else can. That's why we relate to it so well. Sylvia, her work is so personal, and it's all about her. The death of her father, the interactions that she has with men in her life, you know, her interactions even with nature and with her own sort of depressive spiral. So that, I mean, these are very, very personal episodes that she's describing. And yet, when we read her, we see ourselves. We see our own sort of demons. We actually can experience the emotions of lust and death and grief that she talks about. They are so similar. The reason people connect to Sylvia today is because she is all of us.
That's Lee Kravitz speaking about his novel, The Last Confessions of Sylvia P. in March 2022. The book is now out in paperback. And if you or someone you know are considering suicide or in crisis, call or text 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.